Amen. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And thankful for the songs. And as a pastor said, that you hear me there, I'm on. Hello? It's orange. Okay. All right. Well, like I said, pastor said, got to meet him up above Rock Top there. What is that? What's another town again? Carrollville, that's right. I was up in Carrollville listening to Brother Dean preach. Last time I was here, you know, the revival. And I just about to be honest with you, I wish Brother Dean was preaching tonight. Amen. He's such a blessing to me. And anyway, I'm just thankful for this opportunity. Thankful to stand in his presence. My family, you know, I wish they were here tonight. I know several people's asked about my wife and my kids, and they wanted to be here. And we had a dear, sweet lady that I actually grew up with in a church before we went to Temple. Her name's Sharon Mayhem. I don't know if y'all know her or not, but she passed away kind of suddenly. And her husband, Emmanuel Mayhem, they're having the funeral tonight over at our church. She was the sister of Barry McDonald. He used to be my old pastor a long time ago. Great man of God, preacher. Love him. That was his sister. And him and Gene McDonald used to come right down here to the mission and get in the back alleys and preach and pray to those homeless back there. That's where he got his start. And love that family. Just good people. I wish you'd please be in prayer for them. Emmanuel Mayhem is her husband. He's brokenhearted tonight. Love him. And just please pray for that family. I also like to ask you to be in much prayer for my pastor. My pastor, Charles Lawson, he's got some heart issues, and he's getting ready to have a heart ablation. They're going to take a little laser and go inside and burn a little spot on his heart to keep it from fluttering and going out of rhythm. And he's had several episodes of that the last couple of years. He's actually had this procedure done another time. It fixed it for a while, but it's doing it again. He's a great man of God. I don't know if y'all get to listen to him on the internet or something, but I encourage you to go to Line of Judah website and look him up. He's got some great teaching. Great teaching. Anyway, I'm very thankful to be here, Pastor Sharp. I really appreciate it. I don't take this lightly. I do not. This is a fearful thing.
Right.
Not to stand in front of you
That's
all,
right. That's right.
But to stand in front of God and to say something on his behalf. I'm very appreciative of that. God had been dealing with me about preaching for a long time. In Burlington, me and my wife was able to go to Burlington, and during that revival, I went up there and buried my face in the middle of that sawdust and surrendered to the call to preach. And thankful that God called me. Although when I came back, I kind of, you know, was hesitant. You know, I didn't know how to I didn't know what to say to my pastor. Just Satan was fighting me about it, and pastor preached a message. You know, what are you waiting for? If he's called you, what are you waiting for? Come on. That night, I went and told pastor I needed to talk to him. We had a meeting and told him God called me to preach. And just a couple Sundays later, I was up there preaching my first message. And, you know, my first message, I want to kind of share some of this with you. I'm not going to go back through and preach that message or anybody, but I want to share just a little bit of it with you. I preached about, a lot of my people in my church have been talking about revival, and we've been coming to revivals here. And I've been going to revivals all across Tennessee, North Carolina, and me and my family's just been enjoying doing that this year, and it's been a blessing to us. And my first message I preached is why we don't have revival. And I compared the building of the two temples, you know, Solomon's temple, how grand and how beautiful and how, you know, all the sacrifices that they brought up, and how Solomon got down and prayed. And at the end of his prayer, God sent fire out of heaven and consumed the sacrifices. And what a marvelous thing it was. That night, Solomon met with the Lord. The Lord actually met with Solomon that night. The Lord said to Solomon, you know, I'll answer your prayer. If the people go away, if they stray away, if they ask forgiveness, I'll bring them back. Well, the next temple was built, Nehemiah and Ezra, and y'all know that story. They was in Babylon for 70 years. God brought them out, and when he got them back there, they started building the temple and building the walls. The difference is there was no fire from heaven sent. No fire. You read the very end of both of those books, it says that they had strange wives. Strange wives. And that's my first message, is why we don't have revival, because we got some strange wives in our life. Luckily, nobody got divorced. And they understood that I wasn't talking about their physical wife, but sometimes we got some strange things in our life that we need to get rid of. So that was my first message. Everybody was excited to hear new preachers were coming to preach, and they thought they'd be out of there, and I preached for an hour and 30 minutes. So, I seen some people get up and leave. But anyway, thankful the Lord used me, and I was just thankful for it and very appreciative. The second time I preached on the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And preached on mercy to live by and mercy to die by. And how the Lord is merciful to us. Oh, how merciful is the Lord. If you went up to that sermon, back in that sermon, you go up to Exodus chapter 34, around verse 6 or so, Moses meets with the Lord up there for the second time. I've done been down and brought the Ten Commandments down the first time and saw all the rebellion and the sin camp, and 3,000 were slain down there. And Moses goes back up to the mountain to get another set of Ten Commandments. And the very first thing that the Lord comes down and says, he says, the Lord God is merciful. Yes. Oh, he's merciful. The very first thing he said, he's merciful. And I had 276 verses on mercy. And after we got through them one at a time, everybody was crying, mercy. Amen. So tonight, I want to preach on or talk about what the Lord gives me, and is holy. The Lord God's holy. And there's 611 verses on holy in the Bible. And I pray by the end of this, y'all be crying holy. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I actually didn't go over all those verses of mercy, but I told that to them when I preached to them, joking with them, trying to cut up a little bit so I wouldn't be so nervous. Amen. And it didn't work that night, and it's not working tonight. So, but anyway, if you would, please take your Bibles. Let's stand out of the respect for the holy word of God. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 6 and verse 9. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 9. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Oh, Father, I don't take this lightly, Lord. Father, Lord, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Hide me back here, Lord. I don't want people to see me, Lord. It's not about me, Father. It's about the Holy One of Israel, Lord. Oh, Father. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I ask you to bless my study, Lord. I ask you to bless your word. Lord, I don't want no honor, no praise, Lord, but all honor, praise, and glory to Jesus. Father, Lord, we give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to keep that verse in your mind. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want you to keep that in mind. I want to be a help to you tonight. I really do. That's my earnest prayer is I want to be a help. I want to go to Exodus 34. I want you to keep Matthew in your mind, but go to Exodus 34. Back up on that mountaintop. Lord's been teaching me a lot about his personality and his attitude towards us. And back on that mountaintop with Moses, Exodus 34, I've been getting a lot out of this. I want to go back there for just a little while. Exodus 34 and verse 6. This is Moses now, Mount Sinai, second time, verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. May I say the Lord's merciful. Oh, how mercy he showed in my life. Can I say that the Lord's gracious? Oh, he's gracious. May I say it to the Lord's long-suffering. Oh, he's been so long-suffering in me in my life. And I dare to say he's been long-suffering in your life. Time and time again. If you go back to Nehemiah and look at Nehemiah, what he said about this very event, Nehemiah said, Lord, you could have killed them all if it wasn't for your mercy. Oh, he's long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and truth. Oh, he's so abundant. We overlook that so many times in our life, how the goodness of God is shed on us, and we just overlook it. And the Lord is truth. He won't lie to you, won't leave you, won't forsake you. Lord God is truth. Oh, he's merciful. 3,000 died that day up after, you know, before he went back up on that mountain, 3,000 died. God could have killed them all. But the very when he come down, he talked to Moses. He said, Moses, the Lord God, merciful. Merciful. But I want to back up and I want to look at this, the very first words of the Lord there, okay? He said, the Lord God. First thing he said to Moses, Moses, I'm the Lord, but I'm God. He said, I'm God. I'm not some little idol down here. I'm not something that to be played with. I'm God. May I say he's holy. He's holy and righteous God. He describes himself as the Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Now you can turn if you want to. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. I'm going to try to go through them pretty quick. But if you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to for sake of time. Isaiah 43:15 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. the Creator of Israel, your King. May I say, we need to respect the Holy One. Amen. He's the Holy One of God. Holy. Psalms 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Great is the Lord. Amen. Holy is the mountain of God. Amen. Not just God's holy, His mountain's holy. Psalms 15:1, the Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The hills of God are holy. Amen. Psalms 11:4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, yet His eyelids try the children of men. His temple's holy. Isaiah 6:2-3. Above it stood the seraphims, verse 3. And one cried unto another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The heavenly creatures say, "Holy." The heavenly creatures say, "Holy." Revelations 4:8. And the four beasts, each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." The beast says, "Holy." Amen. They rest not night or day. He was holy in the past. He's holy in the present. And He'll be holy in the future.
Amen.
Holy. Lord God Almighty. Psalms 99, verse 5. "Exalt ye the Lord, our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy."
Amen.
May I say, His footstool is holy.
Yes.
Psalms 47:8. "God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness." Can I say, God's throne is holy. God's throne's holy. Zechariah 2, verse 13. "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for He is risen up out of His holy habitation." May I say, everywhere that God is holy. Everywhere He's holy. I want to paint this picture for you now. Close your eyes, or I want you to look at this picture. God tells Moses, "Moses, the Lord's God." He talks about Himself, gives us His characteristics of what He is, how He's merciful and how He's long-suffering and full of grace and truth. But the first thing He says, "Moses, the Lord is God."
Amen.
And He's holy. The Lord's holy. He has a holy mountain. Picture that. Just the mountains of God are holy. His hills are holy. The temple where God is holy. The seraphim and the beast cry, "Holy, holy, holy." The footstool and the throne, the very essence of God is holiness. Holy. Psalms 33:21. "For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name." Have you trusted in His holy name? Let me say, we can trust in His holiness. I want to tell you a little story about a holy and righteous God. This is not a story out of the Bible. I think it fits perfectly, though. There was a priest one time in France, 1847, a Catholic priest. He had asked this man, Placide Coppoli, to write a poem for the church. And this man was not a Catholic. Matter of fact, he was kind of puzzled why he would even ask him. So he began to read the book of Luke, chapter 2. And as he read the book, he imagined what it would look like there in this poem that he was reading or writing. He got the poem written, and he met up with a friend of his. It happened to be a Jewish man. It was a composer named Adolf Adams. Together, they composed and wrote the song, "O Holy Night." Amen. And immediately, it became a church hit. It went all across France. Matter of fact, it went all through Europe. And as he, as that song started to go through Europe, you know, it started to flood all across France and Germany and all those little countries there, the church found out that neither one of them was Catholic. And so immediately they banned the song from the Catholic Church and said, "You can't sing that no longer. It's too secular. That's too secular of a song." I want to read some of that song to you. These are the lyrics. I'd sing it, but I'm a horrible singer, so. "Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. May I say the night that Christ was born was holy. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, holy." The story doesn't stop there, though. The common folk, not the Catholic Church, the common folk pick up that song and started singing it far and wide. 1870. There was a war between France and Russia. It's called the Franco-Prussian War. And on that battlefield one night on Christmas Eve, forget how many hundreds had been killed, but they were in trenches. And as they were in them trenches, they had gotten low at night and things had calmed down, and a Frenchman stood up out of that trench, started singing, "Oh, holy night." And as he began to sing, that song resonated, and it went across the battlefield. It got the German, or the Russians, curious. And they stuck their head up over the trench and saw somebody standing there with no gun, no sword, nothing, singing, "Oh, Holy Night." And although they didn't know the words, they recognized the melody. And some Russian soldier stood up out of his trench, and he started singing right along with that Frenchman. Together, they started easing across that battlefield towards each other. As they sit there and they sung, more and more people started coming up out of the trenches. Started singing, "Oh, Holy Night." The next day, Christmas Day, all the fighting had stopped. These Russians and these Frenchmen were talking with each other and celebrating with each other. May I say that God's holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Holy. A very similar thing happened with Silent Night. During World War I, let me back up. No, let me keep going. Silent Night. World War I. An Englishman started singing Silent Night. Let me just read it. "Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent Night, Holy Night. Shepherds pray at the sight. Glory streaming from heaven afar. Heavenly, sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother, child. Holy infant, so tender and mild." As he started singing, that melody carried right across to the Germans. Before you know it, the Germans were singing back. And Christmas Day, they stood up and shared Christmas together. Matter of fact, the next day, they didn't even want to go back to fight. Many of them refused to. They made them take and actually take some of those soldiers out to move new soldiers in to make them start fighting each other. It's an amazing thing that... Chase a little rabbit right quick. It's on my mind. You know, World War I was really a war between governments. It wasn't a war between the people. This Prussian War and Franco War, it wasn't a war with the people. It was a war against the governments. It was the governments arguing and fighting. World War I started over an assassination of another king of another country, and that's what got that started. May I say that there was Christians on both sides. And in the midst of battle, in the midst of war, a holy and righteous God come in there and touch the hearts of man over the birth of his son. Holy. May I say God's holy. Oh, Holy Night. Oh, Holy Night continued on after the Prussian War. Not a lot of people know this, but this is pretty interesting. The very first radio transmission. They were experimenting with radio waves. The only thing that they could do at the time was send clicks, Morse code through radio. And so this scientist had been working on it ad nauseum. And he finally figured out how to transmit his voice through radio waves. Late one night, the very first radio transmission, he read Luke chapter 2, He read the Christmas story. And after that, he got his violin out and started playing Oh Holy Night. And the radio and the Morse code operators on ships that listen for those dots and those dashes, all of a sudden, instead of a dot and a man's voice come on the radio and share the story of Jesus. And he heard, Oh Holy Night. Can I say to you that God's holy? He's holy. Holy. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's long-suffering. Yes, he's gracious. But he's holy. He's holy. Back to our original verse, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think too much of the time we forget he's holy. This year has been quite a change in my life. The Lord's been teaching me a lot of things, and one of the things he's taught me, especially in this message here, that he's holy. But a lot of times in my life when I've been praying and when I'm trying to seek God's face, it's so simple, we miss this sometimes. I'll be praying, I'll say, Lord, forgive me my sins, Lord, thank you for everything you do for my family, Lord. I love you, Lord. And, oh, God, you're so good to me, and I appreciate that, Lord. And, Lord, I need help with this, Lord. I need help with that. And so many times, Christ said, after this manner pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So many times I forget to worship the Lord before I pray. So many times before I go to seek God's face, I just go right into what I need. And I don't, as Christ would say, hallowed be thy name. So many times in my personal life, I've skipped right over the holiness of God. And I made it about me. Made it all about me. God's holy. God's holy. He's holy. The Bible says in Revelations, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. Holy. He's worthy and due honor, praise, and glory. So many times we just skip over it. But he's holy. Yes, I know he's merciful. God, thank you for the mercy. Yes, he's gracious. Thank you for the grace, Lord. Oh, thank you for the long-suffering, Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this word. Oh, it's true, Lord. Thank you. But he's holy. Amen. Have we forgotten that he's holy? I know that in my life, he's taught me this year, he's holy, holy, God Almighty. It's a shame, I think, that so many times as Christians, we can spend so much time wrapped up in worldly things. The past 50 years, it's been television, sports. I'm sure most of us in here are fans to this big old stadium right over here. I got people I work with. Y'all met some of them. They can tell you anything in the world about anybody in sports that you want to know about. They can tell you every statistic. They could tell you every time somebody's caught a pass or how many times they've dropped a pass or how many times they've had an interception. but can't quote to you John 3:16. Where are you at in this life? God's holy. Jesus said, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So many times we pass right over that.
Amen.
I'm the guiltiest one here. Holy is the Lord. Holy. I know Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. But may I say, Christ is holy. Holy. Leviticus 19:2. Speaking to all the congregation of the children of Israel and saying to them, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Whoever's playing, if you would, just come up and play real softly for me a minute. I got a question I want to ask tonight. I've got a lot more up here I could tell you, share with you. I don't feel led to do that, though. But what I do feel to last is ask this tonight. Is he holy to you?
Amen.
Is the Lord Jesus, that his mountains, his hills, how the creatures in heaven cry out, holy, holy, holy. How his footstool and how the very essence of him is holiness and is his throne. Is he holy to you?
Amen.
Maybe you've forgotten that he's holy. Maybe you've forgotten that he's holy. Got some scripture here that says for us to remember his holiness. I'm not going to try to go back and find it. I skipped over it, but the Bible tells us to remember the holiness of God.
Amen.
It would do good tonight if we could remember where the Lord brought us from. It would do us good tonight to remember the Lord's holy. And tonight, if that's you, and if you've forgotten the holiness of God, why don't you come and start afresh with him? Say, Lord, I know that you're holy. Lord God, I'm sorry, Lord, but you're holy, Lord. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't recognized your holiness. For the Lord God's holy. He's holy. Let's stand up and they can sing what they need to sing.